Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and boy, oh boy, what a special treat for all you Quality Timers and longtime listeners. A special guest for today, the long-awaited return of Miss Kimberly Callahan. That's right. She's back on the episode, and we talk about what quarantine life is like, what she's been up to in the meantime, and there's a goddamn baby. All that and more on this episode. But if I could ask you from the bottom of my heart, and I know I do this at every intro, okay? So just let me do my thing. Let me go through some normal things in my life. Hop on the Apple Podcast, the Stitcher, the Podbean, whatever platform you listen to us on, Spotify. Drop us a 5-star rating. Give us a follow. It costs you nothing at all, takes a little bit of your time, and means the absolute world to us. Now, without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 12, and get ready for quarantine.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
But what we could add to it is the dog, because I had to say to my dog like 3 days ago, and I told my grandmother I said this because we were talking about being frustrated about quarantine and having to do all the household stuff but without any of the relief, you know. And I said to my grandmother, I was like, well, I told the dog yesterday, you can't climb up my asshole because it's already covered in hemorrhoids. There's no room for you up there. She enjoyed that.
Classic grandma. Well, right? I don't know. We guys know how all the show works. Are we ready to start this off?
Let's do it.
Oh, welcome back to Quality Time, the most quality of time podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric T. Woodworth. And you know what? I'm not going to waste a ton of time here. First and foremost, I'm going to introduce the guy who's here every fucking week so we can get him out of the way. Give it up for my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Who are you talking about?
I'm sorry. Who's joining us on the program this evening?
It's me, Dexter, from the show Dexter.
wait a minute. Are you Dexter's Laboratory or the murderous one whose fake sister is in this?
I wouldn't say a murderer. I just kill people that kill people. So.
Okay. Hello, I'm Dexter. I didn't know he's also, Snide Snerdly or whatever his name is? Hello, I'm Dexter.
Maybe I'm more the Dexter from 6 Feet Under. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. And joining us today, the stars have aligned, our former guest host on the show for many episodes, the bulk of the series. Give it up for Miss Kimberly Callahan. How are you doing, girlfriend?
Hey, nice name change grab, Eric. Way to nail it.
Well, the thing is,
for you to fuck it up again.
I've had to do it for other things at like the end of the episode. Because listen, I know you don't listen to every episode, but there are, we still plug the second Saturday shit show, which is free every second Saturday of the month, hosted by Mike Quinlan and Kimberly Callahan. So that's how I've learned it over the time.
You cannot have maple syrup right now. No, you can keep eating that.
Oh, and our special other guest is the littlest of the Callahan family. Yeah, go off, girl. Go off. Don't give her that.
You can't have maple syrup.
Give me one maple syrup.
I love you so much, but you can't have maple syrup.
Open me one package of McDonald's maple syrup,
this little chicken nugget that fell out of me, it fights sleep real, 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 real hard. Mm-hmm. So now it is 4:10, and if I want her to go down by 8:30 or even 9:30, I can't give her maple syrup. It's too late already. At 4:30, at not even 4:30 yet, I have to start cutting off the sugar because she will fight me.
Oh, she sounds like a hoot. Sounds like a hoot.
A hoot and a holler.
So how are you holding up in this post-apocalyptic world we now live in called the quarantine?
It's not that much different from being a postpartum mom who has a kid that's about a year old. I don't get to see other adults. I don't get to engage in adult conversation. I'm usually wearing pajamas, and my dental hygiene is not at its best. This, not much has changed for me.
Oh, that rocks.
How about you guys?
Oddly enough, I mean, apart from being able to not do comedy at all, which is, it's been a blow. I felt like I was starting to get good. I got my first feature offer at the Magoobies Joke House. Started to step my game up a little bit. You know, I was here. 2020 was looking good. Right back in the shitter now. Now we're all doing no shows. I just remember February. I was like, I don't know if I can do any more shows. And I was like, oh sweet, this pandemic will give me a break. And I now am clawing my way to get out of the house as soon as it's forced, right?
If you would have chosen to not take shows, you would have enjoyed that probably. But being forced to take it always sucks.
Yeah. So, but the only thing.
That was a very rapey sentence, wasn't it? Being forced to take it always sucks. Yeah. Right, Jeremy?
Get him.
Not the first time I ever heard that. In jail.
Jeremy, how are you holding up in the pandemic in the meantime, brother?
I don't know. The pandemic's just been kind of fun to me.
Yeah.
The best part, and I hate to say, I almost didn't want to tell anybody this, is that I definitely had a cold like the week that it really started.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I didn't have the COVID because I didn't really have the real, what's the word? I don't know. Whatever the fucking symptoms were.
Right, right.
I just had a pretty nasty cold. And I finally got past the cold to good enough to actually feel like going out and doing things again. And the worst thing was the first day that I got out and I went to Aldi.
Okay.
And of course, I never wear a mask. To me, that's just overblown and unnecessary. But going through Aldi and shopping, the whole thing was to make sure that I never coughed while I was in the store to show that I was actually sick.
Oh, I know how you feel, because like when I finally have to go out into the hellscape, or that is the COVID-19 ridden world right now, if I get just a regular sneeze or I feel like my nose is running and maybe I need to get a little cough or clear my throat, I can't. It's just, and it drives me insane because I don't want the glares and the looks. You understand?
And working at my job, which is a pretty filthy warehouse because of all the dirty pallets that we have that we slam on the floor and just kick up a big old cloud of dust. So you have like really black boogies the end of the night. And the best thing is that
And you put them with your collection.
Well, it's I prefer to call it a museum. But anyway.
This is art, honey. Look, I call him Gerald.
My magic nose goblins. So, as I was saying, I will just, in the warehouse, because of this dust, just have the most violent, horrible sneezing fits that last at least 30 seconds where I'm just like, just dying, laughing. He's like, dude, he sounds like he's dying. He's got the COVID already. Definitely got the COVID. I'm like, no, it's the freaking dust from his warehouse.
Are you
my nose making black boogers and nose goblins. So that's it.
All right, good. So, Jerry, I asked, in case you guys don't know, and maybe I think Jeremy knows this, but our sister, Rachie, her husband actually has COVID-19. So she's living in a house with a person with COVID-19 currently. He is quarantined to a one floor of basement for the last week and a half. And she leaves food at the top of the steps, like how we treated Jeremy his entire life. And,
eventually I got to wear clothes.
Shut up and finish your bucket of fish heads. And so me and my wife had this discussion between all of the, I was like, if you had to have one of my brothers and sisters over, she had to rank which ones were allowed over. Okay. And she said, Jeremy, it was still number one last. We can't have Jeremy over. She's like, even if he has COVID or not, he was just like, the implication that he may have it is enough. Okay. Now, number two is, one spot was hard for my wife, though, because she goes, listen, Rachel lives with somebody with COVID-19 right now. It's almost got to be her. But she's like, but our sister Amy, she works at a grocery store, which is the only place where people are constantly exposed to it. So ultimately, she went, I think, with Aunt Amy, the non-confirmed case, even though Jeremy was pretty sick there for about a week.
Oh, no. I went to see the movie Contagion when it came out in theaters. I have a strange list of movies that I've gone to see. Like, some people will go to the movie theater, spend the money, sit in the sweat and cum-covered seats, all that stuff, to see, like, Marvel. Like, people are like, I go to the movie theaters every time a Marvel movie comes out. I have the weirdest list. Like, I was realizing this the other day. Contagion, The Men Who Stare at Goats. Ooh. Like, I wanted to go see The Big Short, and I missed it, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I like dry political dramas. I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway,
no, I said you want to see it. You want to see a good movie.
I want to see a good movie that's not like super overwhelming, but also not totally like The Hangover, like a comedy. I saw The Hangover in the movie theater. That was fun.
Nice.
But I went to see Contagion, and I had an allergy problem, so that was fun. Because we're sitting there watching it, and as you know, spoiler, Kate Winslet ends up in a body bag. There's like a hard cut to like, oh, she's dead now. Like, I'm over there like, people are literally turning around and being like, oh my God.
I remember when I went to go see, I saw the newest Spider-Man movie, the Spider-Man Homecoming film, Homecoming. And I went to go see it in Towson with probably like 18 different local comedians there. And we're sitting there, and there's some guy who brings in an infant, and this infant starts going off in the middle of the movie.
God.
Maybe I'm on too many edibles to say anything and living in my own world at the time, but finally somebody got up and asked that guy. I was like, dude, just take your fucking kid out of here. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. But fast forward to the end of this movie, right? I get up and everybody's going like, man, that part was crazy. Hey, do you remember this part? And I was like, hey, you want to know the part I didn't understand? Why was in that one dream sequence that baby crying? And I just said it really loud, and I could see that guy's eyes dart up at me like, you fucking asshole. It was a good bit. It was worth it. But no, I like the movies are fun. I usually go if it's a group event kind of thing, you know, or if it's something I really want to see. But I always have to go with people, right? But my wife, completely different. She only goes after the movie's been out for weeks so that she can go by herself and sit with around no one. She wants to have like rows of people with nothing, and it's just her in the movie theater like this.
I love going to see a movie by myself because again, the movies I like to see, not really everybody's like, it's not exactly the, hey, invite your friend to the political history movie, you know? I love it. I saw My Week with Marilyn by myself. Awesome. When I went to Europe, I found a place where they have beer. I had one for each hour.
Nice.
And I watched my bad movie, and I drank my crappy Stella Artois. I had a great time.
Hell yeah.
Eric, can you cue up Mad Max theme?
The Mad Max theme? Yeah, Jeremy, anything for you, brother. I'd live for your things.
Go as fast as you can. So.
Okay, I'm working as fast as I can here. Jeremy, what are you getting at?
You know what? I just really want to see a movie called Everybody Dies.
Everybody Dies?
Yeah, I just think it'd be, that's my kind of movie that I want to see on the regular, so.
That's it, huh?
You know, the Mad Max.
This right here?
Part 2 opening theme.
This guy right here.
The last part, not this shitty part. Dun, 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 dun.
This right here. Dun, dun, dun.
Once we edit this out, it'll sound perfect.
Well, it's all the planning that you put behind it that makes it easy.
Well, I'd hope you would have been ready within like 15 seconds.
Oh, the thing that you brought up 20 seconds. Yeah, you're right. I understand that. That makes perfect sense. Okay, I clearly haven't found the song that you're looking for.
Oh, fuck it. I'm going to freeform it then.
Okay, go for it. What do you got here?
You know, that movie, Everybody Dies. In this film, everyone dies. I think my friend is dead. That's because everybody dies in this film. That's right. Everyone dies. Come see Everyone Dies. You'll get to see everyone die in this film. Thank you. Everyone Dies.
I think I got it just in time. There you go. Everybody Dies. I like it.
Hey, you don't even have to put that much into it. You just do a parody song of that Radiohead song. Everybody Dies on Friday the 27th. Tickets half price after midnight. You can jazz it up. It's fine.
You know what the plot of the film is? Everybody Dies.
Classic Everybody Dies. You know, I don't have a lot of them, but I do have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Yay.
Hey, Joe, you know it's time. Yeah, it's time for Joe's corrections. You maybe you heard the wrong name or the wrong day. Because we've all been drinking.
Corrected.
All right. Joe Robinson's corrections. That was the Hey Jude version by Jeremy Woodworth. Congrats.
Very amazing. Good.
We underutilized that sound drop, Jeremy, but I want you to know I appreciate your hard work behind it.
Corrections.
So this is only a couple here. It's from our Airborne episode. Oddly, he's correcting the episode that he was actually on.
Nah.
Post, but and he points this out to me when during the Airborne episode I say privy to instead of privy to. So that was a big Joe Robinson correction.
You're totally privy.
And if I'm looking at it, that's it. That was his only thing that he had on me. Ha ha, cocksucker. that dumb bitch really had to roll dig down deep for that one. I liked it. I know, but shout outs to Joe Robinson. Hey guys, have you seen where Die Laughing Productions has gone semi-viral now? Semi-viral. We got like 5,000 views on my weird parody music video that I did where Justin eats his children. It's really fun. So if you haven't
I hate to say my favorite part is where Joe says he could have done better.
That really did make me laugh. The part where he looks at Katie, he was just like, "And you know, this album saved our lives. I got to be honest with you. I thought I could do better." And he looks at the very beautiful Katie Robinson, who clearly Joe will never do better than.
Just for that joke alone, he will be cucked 100 times.
Fuck so. Yeah. Guys, are we ready to get into tonight's tale? We might put this into a two-parter. We'll see, but we're already this far in. Tonight, we are going over the 2009 classic, Quarantine, which actually is a remake, almost shot-for-shot kind of remake of the of an Italian movie called REC. Jeremy, are you familiar with REC at all?
I thought this was a remake of like The Ring or something where she comes out of a well or something, but has to be quarantined in a well.
Nope, not at all.
Seven days.
It's an Italian film, found footage film. This is very much done in the style of like a Blair Witch Project, the original kind of found footage movie. And
we have to model films after foreign films. Can't we make up our own shit?
No, we steal things all the time, like Suspiria and all types of great films. But this one is actually, I really like, Quarantine. I actually am in the camp that I think this movie, the American shot version, is kind of better. I just think, the production value is a little bit higher for the US version. But if you ever want to see the better sequel, check out REC 2 because Quarantine 2 sucks a big old dong and it kind of blows. But if you pick up and you watch the movie Quarantine and then you just turn on REC 2, the exact ending to REC 2, where it's the same ending to this, but we'll get to it, literally picks up right there and you're just back in the building and it's another 90 minutes inside of that goddamn building of terror. And pretty good stuff.
You had said that this was your favorite found footage movie when you texted me about it, and that made me more excited to watch it because I love the idea of a found footage movie, and I love the way they look the first time you see one. It's exhilarating. You're connecting with emotions and presented reality that feels so close to home, because, you know, the camera shakes, and that doesn't happen, you know, when people are running and you can hear, you know, and the footsteps and all the things that they edit out for production value, they leave in to make it more real here. So there's this, like, I don't know, it's almost like an animalistic thing where you're like, this feels more real. I think my favorite found footage movie, and this one's close because it wasn't long. It was like maybe 12 minutes in where I was like, Eric is right. This is one of the best found footage movies I've ever seen. Yeah. Probably a little biased because I love Deb from Dexter. I've seen her in three things, including Dexter, and she's always badass. And she's a tiny little lady, so I resonate with that. She's got little boobies and little arms, but she's a bad bitch, and I love her.
I will get to it later, and we'll get to an audio part of it. There is one thing I don't like about this actress who you're talking about, whose name is Jennifer Carpenter, of course. Jennifer Carpenter, her laugh, I can't deal with. And there's a drop that is coming up when we go over the movie that
I can't, and quite frankly, I won't.
It is the, if you, first of all, it would be, if it, let's say, listen, I'm not saying I'm the greatest looking person, but let's say I'm single, we go on a date, I hear that fucking laugh, it's a deal breaker. We can't, I can't, there's nowhere where this relationship can go past tonight.
Right.
I can't do this. When you hear it, it's the worst fucking, like, it's, you know how everybody has, like, their one downfall, right? Like, for me, right? Like, I have obsessive compulsive disorders, okay? I've learned this over the years. I get obsessed and compulsed with things, and I can't stop. Jeremy, and then there's Kim. So, like, you know, but hers is like, oh, you're beautiful, super talented actress. You have the worst laugh in the whole fucking world, though. So that's her one downfall.
Can I talk about my favorite found movie footage movie?
Yeah.
That'd be The Shining.
How's The Shining a found footage film?
I'm pretty sure they found all the footage in Jack's handy of his little pocket camera when he was like,
that's it. So here's the film genius and cinematography of a Stanley Kubrick is now you put as found
just
footage.
Kind of handheld the film, you know, like it was just done on the fly.
That makes sense. And now I know that there isn't if you watch the movie, if you've ever seen this, there's no theatrical score to this. So Jeremy, what I went ahead and did, and I was just like, you know what, quarantine needs a theme song. So I just made a theme song for quarantine that I thought maybe you guys would enjoy.
Quarantine in a building. Can't leave this damn building. Down on the quarantine building. Oh shit, guess forgot to mention that there's zombies inside. Better run for your life now, Manolo. Quarantine in a building. Oh, it's not for the children. Hey, but that one right there ain't looking good. Maybe we should. I don't know about that one. But did I mention there's also zombie dolls? They will bite your face off if not more. Quarantined in this building. And I can't leave with my children. When they gonna let us out? Because Netflix really isn't that good in 2008. Oh my god, it's a fucking demonic shit upstairs. Hope this wasn't the cause of everything inside now.
All right, that was it. The theme song to quarantine, guys.
Let's call up Samuel L. Jackson and see if he'll cover it for us.
Do you think he would do that for? Do you think he could put in the word for us, Jer?
That might cost hundreds of dollars.
Okay, I like it.
What does what's that? Yeah, baby. What's that? There's a horror movie with Mila Jovovich. Oh fuck, what is it called? That's
Resident
my
favorite. Resident Evil.
No.
The fifth kind. The fifth encounter.
Zoolander.
It's Zoolander. Yeah.
No, fourth. Is it the fourth kind?
It's the fourth kind. There That's my favorite found footage movie.
It's a pretty good one. What do you think the Mount Rushmore of the found footage films, right? So you have the Blair Witch, right?
Yes,
you have
right.
the Cloverfield, which is pretty good one.
You know what? I forgot about that one.
You have obviously this film, Fourth Kind, which is pretty fucking creepy. And then you had mentioned another pretty good one, but I've already forgotten it there. Maybe there's only four really good ones. There it is. We did it.
We solved it. There's nothing else we could weigh in on this. We will do no research. We're not comparing notes.
Nope.
I'm definitely not looking up an already made Fangoria list of this very subject. I'm done now. I've decided. Isn't that how people run countries? Don't get me started.
But I will get into it a little bit later. I will talk about REC2 a little bit when we get to the end of this thing. But, you know, so the movie opens up. We get to meet Angela Vidal, who's played by the very lovely Jennifer Carpenter, and her cameraman, Scott Percival, who is played by Steve Harris, Jeremy. Steve Harris.
From Iron Maiden?
From Iron Maiden. Yeah, I knew you were going to make an Iron Maiden reference. Steve Harris is, he's been featured on one other episode of Quality Time, and that would be the episode with The Rock. He was in the movie The Rock. But he's one of those guys that when you look at him, you're like, you can't name that actor. But, I know I've seen him in things before. He's one of those guys.
Can I tell you about some of the genius of the cinematography of this film?
No. Tell me more.
I think the biggest genius of all is that it's done with regular lighting so that Jennifer Carpenter's squinty eye isn't that bad squinty in this movie. So
I like it. So we get to meet Angela Vidal in the first couple of seconds as she's filming outside of a fire station.
Hi, I'm Angela Vidal. Come with us tonight as we paint the town red on the night shift. On tonight's night shift, we're in Los Angeles, traveling along with that special breed of hero we like to call the fire department.
Do we like to call it that, or is that just what it's called?
Yeah, I like to call it, actually, the hosey guys. That's my personal thing.
I like to call them the people that put fires out.
I feel safest when I call them water bros.
Water bros. Hosey guys, water bros, potato, potato. You know? She interviews some of the fellas around the station. She works for the local news station there. We meet the two firefighters who will be, she'll be riding along with Jake and Fletcher.
This is Jake and Fletcher.
Hi.
These are the men you'll be shadowing tonight. Wherever they go, you go too.
Cool. Please finish me. Finish eating. We'll talk after.
Well, would you like some?
Yeah.
Did you make it?
Okay, so if you heard at the end there, you got to hear a little bit of Jennifer Carpenter's fucking horrible laugh. Like, first of all, this is not...
It makes me think of Fight Club when he's like, you have a sick desperation in your life.
That is the worst thing I've ever fucking... Jesus Christ. Could you imagine...
She inherited her laugh from her grandfather.
Imagine like just hearing that like in the front row of a comedy club. You're killing... like not even to your punchline, to your premises. Like I lose it. I can't... My show is now about you. We can't talk about anything else now. Oh, God. Yes. So Jake and Fletcher get mic'd up and they show him some boring dog tricks, the 1920s hook ladder, just some shit around there. There's a clear sexual tension between Jake and Angela, and then all of a sudden a false alarm comes in. But it's a false alarm, but hopefully we get to see some action later tonight is what Angela says. And boy, is that some foreshadowing for what's about to fucking happen. So
I think it would have helped the writing of this film if they said, oh, well, we were going to get called to another building that was filled with like zombies and that needed to be quarantined. But we're not going to go to that one now.
Instead, let me show you this cool Dalmatian.
Yeah.
So the tour continues to the boys' locker room where there's lots of horseplay. They look at some guy's huge-ass dick, and Angela is just, you know, she's having the time of her life. They catch Fletcher saying that he thinks he can bang Angela and wants to bet Jake $100, but he's clearly still mic'd up, and Angie says, "I'll take that bet." Clearly didn't work out for old Fletcher, and we'll find out what happens to him as we continue on. Finally, a call comes in around 5 a.m., boom, and they start riding along. Fletcher, who's riding shotgun here while Jake's driving, tells him a little bit about his job.
I have the most important job.
Navigating?
No, I'm in charge of the tachometer. If I see a girl, I rate them for the guy. So if I say there's an 8 at 3 o'clock, the guys know they better look to the right.
I see a 9 at 2.
Oh, we got a 9 at 2.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a dude. It's called a chicometer, not a dickometer.
Chicometer, not a, you know, the comedy for this movie is so strong. It's hard to find anything wrong with it.
You think after they had that discussion, she called her dad and was like, "And you said journalism was a bullshit career." Well, guess what, Dad?
That's just one of those lines, like, as somebody who's writing a Hollywood script who's not funny, he's writing it and he's just like,
yeah,
just writing it down on the piece of paper like, this is gonna fucking crush when it finally
I like
shifts.
To think he took like a pencil and drew a box on the paper before he I'm picturing a typewriter, right? Because if you're a writer and you write movies and you're not using a typewriter, what is your problem?
Yeah.
Okay, who do you think you are?
What's that
so
for?
He drew a box and he wrote, "This is where something funny needs to go." And he worked really hard on that bit of dialogue. And he like narrowed it down. He had all these other options. And when he finally came to it, he was like, this is the gold.
See what I think, exact same thing, right? Joke needs to go here. And what he did, like, I imagine like a Jeremy Woodworth looking gentleman. And he sits down at his desk and he has a little cubby that he pulls out underneath like this. And he takes out all of his construction paper and his crayon, and he holds his crayon in his hand. That's like fist ways like this, you know, where you hold it like in your fist and it comes out of the bottom of your hand, not a proper pencil way. And then sticks his tongue out of the side of his mouth. And like, right, the joke now. Wait a minute, what's a chicometer? And the light bulb goes off. Like, oh, it's a dickometer, honey. I just thought of dickometer. Hell yeah.
He concurs.
We actually have one of the writers of Quarantine on the.
Hell yeah.
I say my favorite guest star on Sesame Street was Jennifer Carpenter.
Okay, was she on Sesame Street, or what do you?
It was fantastic because the dialogue between her and Elmo, she was actually in character from Emily Rose as the demon.
Okay, she, exorcism she of Emily
kept,
Rose.
She
okay.
just kept going. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many demons are in you? And she keeps going 1 through 6. So it was great.
That makes sense. The Exorcism of Emily Rose, by the way, is a pretty terrifying exorcism movie.
It's not bad at all.
It's not my favorite. I like The Last Exorcism a little bit better. If you haven't seen it. By the way, another found footage film, The Last Exorcism, now that I think about
also,
it.
Also that soundtrack where there's like, "You are the last exorcism.
Feel the ascension." Did you just
Leroy!
The only thing that could stop him is Leroy Brown. That could just, he just beats the shit out of a possessed little girl for 90 minutes.
Are you referring to Bad Leroy Brown?
Yes. Oh, God. No, that's pretty good.
The last ninja.
So they get on the scene and they meet one of the greatest Russian character actors. I've never seen this guy not play a Russian dude in a movie. And I'm going to murder his name, but his name is Rade Serbajzhak, who plays...
He also the Russian hacker?
Yeah, he's the Russian hacker. And he also plays Boris in the movie Snatch, most famously. You know, he's like, if it doesn't work, you can hit them with it. And so that it's that guy. And he's playing the landlord, Lord Uri, oddly enough, Ivanov, which is like the American way of like, how do we make sure that people know he's Russian? Ivan Drago, Adanov, done. Ivanov, we got this. Next page. So
that would be like in a Russian movie if they had an American character and his name was John Johnelson.
John Johnelson. Tonight on the Johnelson Reports.
If you need a Jewish character, you just call him Jewy Jewison.
Jewy Jewison. He's like, yes, well, this is where Ivanov and Jewy Jewison meet John Johnson and Johnerson.
What do you think, Blackie?
Oh, Blackson. Man, the Russians
are the racist movie of all time.
So they lead the team up to a disturbance call at the apartment building, and we hear Angela break down the scene.
We're standing outside an elderly woman's apartment. Neighbors heard screams and called 911. The fire department's about to begin the rescue process. Police say that she lives alone. She's not very social.
So they break down the door, and they kind of peek through with the camera, and she's just standing there in the middle of the room, kind of panting and shit like that. And it is fucking unsettling, to say the least, to see this silhouette of a woman. So they go to grab Miss Espinosa, who can't seem to calm down at all. And as they're trying to...
Unless you calm down. Ambulance is on its way right now. All right, let's clear space. Danny, get everybody out.
She's foaming at the mouth. And then this bitch takes a chunk out of the cop's neck. And all mayhem breaks loose.
See the music.
That was pretty good. Pretty good. Do you need Benny Hill music, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I forgot to pull that up. Give me a second here.
He needs a palate cleanser.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Almost got it. There you go, Jared. Oh God. What have I done? What have I done? I clicked on an ad. Oh God. My algorithms are ruined.
My algorithms.
There's nothing like a nutty lady just biting her the neck of somebody.
You know,
I after the baby had gone to sleep, I smoked the pots, and I found this movie particularly, the jump scares were especially good when I was sitting there in the dark watching a scary movie by myself on the pots. That was a good experience.
It is fun, man. This is a good one. There's lots of good jump in your face scares here.
I know that Cedric wasn't making fun of this movie in I think Scary Movie, but it's still my favorite scene where Cedric just sees the crazy woman in the room like, "Hey, crazy bitch, what's up?" Yeah. He just doesn't want to even enter the room because he sees she got the fucking look on her face.
Yeah, that makes sense. So they takes a chunk out of his neck, and so the cops rush down while Fletcher stays with Miss Espinosa, who seems to be calm now that she's had a big chunk of flesh out of her in her mouth. They quickly rush him downstairs, but they find out that they're locked in.
Who the hell locked those doors?
It's not to us. Somebody's closing it from outside.
We need an ambulance! Open the door! Open the door!
Real bad. Is there a doctor in the house?
I'm a vet.
Come on, get over here. Put some pressure on that wound.
Give me that rack.
Okay.
So they have the one of the apartment people. There's a vet. He's at least trying to take care of this guy. But there's a shit ton of police SWAT team outside that's locking down this building for all intents and purposes.
At that point in the movie, do they actually look into the camera and say, "We've been quarantined"?
You know, I don't think the word quarantine gets used in it. No titular line in this film, unfortunately. So we don't get to use the titular line drop, Jeremy.
Another thing about this movie, it doesn't even like thrill me because like this is every day for a cop in Baltimore in crack houses.
Yes.
No difference.
No, except they just start shooting and then they leave and say, look, and then they sprinkle crack everywhere and they're
and
like,
then burn it down.
Case closed. completely different. Yeah.
So, and then that person they arrested becomes the governor.
Yes.
A true American tale.
And writes a book for kids.
Yeah. Right. So, quotations. Writes a book for kids. Have you seen the t-shirt thing, Baltimore versus y'all whores?
No, but that's good. That is good.
My best friend and my husband and I, we all really were having a good laugh one night about how aggressive that is. Like, it's one thing to be like, Pittsburgh or nothing, you know, Chicago or bust. Baltimore versus y'all whores. That's a very
y'all
distinctly defined, I don't like you because you charge money for sex. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Baltimore versus y'all whores. Well, they came out with a t-shirt that said Baltimore versus Holly, Healthy Holly. And that was, that's just, if I had money to pay for that back then, I totally would have. That was great.
Mike, shout outs to my one friend, Steve Q. Crizzo. He's a graphic designer and a bit of a underground hip hop star from the local scene. But check out Steve Crizzo. He sells these t-shirts. He's got one that's pretty hot right now. It's called Wash Yo Damn Hands. So
I like that.
It's a really popular shirt. It's flying off the shelves. I copped one myself. So Wash Yo Damn Hands is a good one. If you want to go pick it up, check out Steve.
I'm very happy with Baltimore's new tagline. So
what's that? What's that tagline?
Snitches get stitches. So.
Jerry, what was the post that you had the other day? Maryland's new tagline shouldn't be Maryland, we're open for business, but
Maryland mostly closed for business.
That's good. That's good. So now a loudspeaker from outside says that they should listen to the police inside. They're locking everything down, but the cop is bleeding out. They decide to head for a fabric workshop that is on the other side of the building to see if they can find a way out, when all of a sudden
the studio's getting antibiotics for her. We gotta
holy shit. Motherfucking Fletcher comes off of the second story and splats headfirst into the fucking ground. And
Hell yeah.
I think that was I'd watched this movie a bunch of times years ago. By the way, I know you guys can't see this, our listeners, but Kimberly, if you look at this, this is I have the green screen on, but this is my copy from Blockbuster that I Quarantine from, right here. My copy of Quarantine, my physical hard copy of it.
Since you've kind of given it away now with that picture.
Uh-huh. Our listeners don't know. But
how many movies after this movie had like women being dragged away from the camera after this movie?
I can't name them offhand. I can't really think of too many.
At least got to be in 4 or 5.
Okay. I can you name them though?
I guess one was You've Got Mail.
You Got Mail. Okay.
The other one was
Sleepless in Seattle. Yeah. Okay. So they're all Tom Hanks classics.
And Castaway.
And Castaway. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. So now that Fletcher has been fucking splatted in front of everyone, Fletcher, Jake and the cop decide to go upstairs and check out on the old lady who probably threw Fletcher off of the second story. So Angela heads upstairs with her cameraman back up to the dreaded apartment. They were a little bit behind, so it's just cameraman and Angela, and they're looking into Mrs. Espinosa's apartment, and she's fucking gone, nowhere to be seen. They can hear cursed banging sounds left and right. Scott finally gets up the balls to take the camera inside.
Don't go in there, Scott. Scott.
And then all of a sudden, we see the cleaning lady who just falls dead in front of them, and this lady in a blue maid's uniform is just fucking dead as shit laying in there. The cop finally appears out of nowhere and tells them to get the fuck out of there. What are you doing? Which, by the way, Scott is a black man holding a camera. This is clearly white writing. Like, there's no black dude who's just like, yeah, go into this fucking house of horrors with a fucking camera. This guy does not do that in real life, but that's fine. So The top tells him to get out, but now Miss Espinosa is back and she's staring at him and she does not look fucking happy. And it's a pretty cool shot where they're looking down the hallway and zooming in on her and she's just like fucking fuming like Vegeta powering up and shit. It's wild, right? And all of a sudden, Miss Espinosa bucks up and starts charging at them.
Ma'am, listen to me. Can you hear me, Miss Espinosa? I need you to stay right where you are, okay? All right, we want to help you here, okay? Put your hands in the air for me, Mrs. Espinosa, okay? Put your hands in the air!
So they take out Miss Espinosa. The cop is clearly shaken up that he just had to shoot this poor old lady who is clearly a zombie. See, that's the most unrealistic part. I feel like if a cop does that, he goes, yeah, and then he takes his little sticker off and he's just like, I got another one, and then points it on. He's like, they were resisting. And that's, I think it should be a more realistic way to show that. Now,
Jared, then he realizes a camera's on him. He's like, oh.
Damn. Hey, you got to destroy that footage. You saw him.
Or he takes an empty mason jar with a Sharpie written on it that says fentanyl, and he puts it in the dead person's hand, and he's like, he was trying to kill me.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I like, I've gotten into one of the holes I've fallen into during this quarantine are watching police body cams of shootings, which I know we see like the really horrible ones that are totally unjustified, but these justified ones are fucking badass. It's like literally watching real Call of Duty. Like it is, there's this one of this dude who, a cop who pulls some guy over and he's like, what's your name? What's that? He gives him a fake name and he was just like, yeah, he's like, let me see your ID. And the guy pulls out a sawed-off shotgun, and it is him backing up, just going, bah, 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 bah. He puts two clips into this fucking, like, just turning around this, like, Ford Bronco, just putting bullet after bullet into this fucking car, and it is wild. And then it just shows him retreating behind something and reloading, and then getting back up. He's like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. Like it is some real intense shit if you ever want to check out some of this found footage stuff. But, oh, the...
My favorite is the guy who tries to give the guy a ticket and he gets really upset because the ticket's like $170.
See, I don't like those, but they had this particular one I had watched. I don't know where it is, but they had a body cam on the cop, but the cop also had a cam on his gun, so you could see like the barrel of the gun for each round that he dispersed. It was pretty fucking intense. I wish
you had said the camera was actually in the barrel of the gun seeing the bullets exit the gun.
The most fun part is like after he shot up this thing, both people live. Like the cop got shot once in like the shoulder and the other guy got shot like six or seven times, but ended up living, oddly enough. Both parties ended up living, and that guy's who lived is totally fucked now for the rest of his life because he shot a cop. So anyway, the gang starts moving everyone downstairs to the H room, which makes no sense. Like, this is a quarantine. Like, no, I want you all locked and barricaded in your apartment. Don't come out here to this place of horrors. Like, I don't understand. Like, we live in this age of social distancing right now. None of the decisions that are being made are good ones. No?
At what point does he find out that the whole building is paid for by rich people that just want to torture people in chairs?
Are you putting in a hostile reference now? Are you throwing in this into the hostile universe now?
Yeah, and he has to protect the Chinese girl with her eyeball hanging out.
I like it. So they start going door to door asking folks to come down. The third door gets Jake finds a non-responsive woman who's just watching static on a TV, and I've never. Listen, I'm not a first responder, okay? I don't know what it's like to kind of live in that world, but if I were ever on a call and they sent me to some place and there's just some bitch who's not talking to me and staring at a TV that's just playing static, I leave. I'm like, nah, there was nothing here. I close the door.
I thought the same thing when I was watching it. I was like, they train you for fuck no moments.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
You see the signs. Like, she's not turning around. She's not responding. I can't see her hands. And she's watching a TV. That's just creepy.
No.
I mean, come on. That's just creepy.
Well, as somebody who really understands cops, I look in the window or in the door. If I see she's black, I just instantly start firing. So.
Jeremy, Jesus. I mean,
there is your medal.
Finally, oh my gosh, she's black.
Now, no, you're following the classic police playbook, okay? But I know deep down you're better than that. Deep down. So she starts making odd wheezing sounds, similar foaming at the mouth type shit. They start to help her downstairs, and I thought this was really funny, and I pulled this out, is that Scott sees them helping out and he's the only one with any sense.
And we need you to get downstairs, okay?
What's wrong with her?
I don't know that that's a good idea.
I don't know that's a good idea. You probably shouldn't. Scott is the only one who's making sense of this. They're making white people decisions. They're like, Scott, you're like, nah, dude, don't touch that fucking foaming at the mouth, bitch. This, no. Don't do that.
Growling's not a good sign for people.
Yeah. So she ends up puking as she walks, and then Scott looks around and sees a rat that starts coming to her and has to stomp this rat out, which is pretty cool. And
that was wicked sweet.
Yeah, it's a pretty fucking cool, gory scene. The one thing I don't understand, he's just like, he tries to justify it to the other people. He's like, did you see it? That rat was coming right at me. Like, why do you care? Like, what is... do you think, like, even if it wasn't that, they would think you were a monster because you saw a rat and stomped it? Like, I don't understand his justification behind it, but it was still fun.
I think that was the reason for the whole quarantine, is the bubonic plague kind of rat thing. So blame it on rats.
Hell yeah.
Maybe it was a ghost fan also.
So they head back down to find another exit, but they're met with some resistance.
So I didn't catch that. You're breaking
two
up.
Two people have died violent deaths. Two others are in desperate need of medical care. The police have blocked off the exit. They've given us no explanation. We're trying to find a way out.
Oh, shit.
Oh, get away from the window. Hey, you need to remain in the building. We have civilians in here.
So they're still locked in, and they start to like plastic wrap all the windows up. And I'm like, that can't be a good sign when they're trying to save you like Tupperware at this point, you know?
Can I make a point, because you've used the word locked in at least 3 times now?
Sure.
There's a song that I finally heard after at least 30 years now, and is the worst Judas Priest song, called Locked In. And just the lyrics alone, it's like, you got me locked inside your love. And I just remember hearing this as like a teenager, like, this is the stupidest heavy metal song I've ever heard in my life.
Locked in for love.
And we used to make fun of it, my cousin and I.
You got me locked inside your love.
Like, this, gosh, I just wish they'd all die in a bus or like a plane crash.
Okay. Well,
or in a cuddle pile, like maybe if they suffocated in a cuddle pile.
Yeah, like when too many puppies get in a close quarters and they suffocate.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, Judas Priest made some of the greatest heavy metal music of sex between a man and another man. But at the same time,
I respect that. Yeah,
some of it is really dumb.
Groundbreaking.
Can I get you wrong if I would like to?
Sure. I know I'm wrong, but
so they realize that there's no cell service now. They've locked off all communications to the building. They go to check another exit on the second floor, and they see troops have started to seal the place up there. Tensions flare as the remaining cop is on fucking edge. Angela says that they're there to film everything.
It's 1:37 in the morning, and everyone is scared. They've given us no information. They've cut off all communication from walkie-talkies and cell phones to the building's cable and internet. The people trapped here, myself included, can't help but ask why.
Whoa. So, meanwhile, they work on stabilizing Fletcher, who, even after that horrible fall, is still somehow alive. And the other cop downstairs, and I burped into the microphone, which Jeremy thinks it's the funniest thing if I have like a random belch that comes up when I'm trying to do read copy. It's his favorite thing.
There's nothing assy and classy.
Yeah. So, the doctor, who's actually a vet, is doing the best he can.
How are the injured men doing?
Oh, they both lost a lot of blood. The fireman over here, he's got a bunch of broken bones and probable internal bleeding. Apparently, Mrs. Espinosa attacked and bit them in some kind of a fit. But honestly, I find that a little hard to believe, that an old lady could do something like this to two grown men.
So, meanwhile, they try to work on doing that. Angela goes and interviews some people because that's what she does in horrible situations. And while she's interviewing people, Fletcher gets up off of the fucking metal slab they put him on, and he's walking around on a very broken leg, like protruding bones, fucking Joe Theismann walking around on this fucking horrible haunch leg. And it's a pretty gnarly effect. Like, it definitely makes me cringe to see walking on broken bones. I don't know. I thought it was pretty fucking cool.
That was cringeworthy. That was fun. That was a fun one because everybody screams before they show you what's happening. So you're already plugged in to just be like fucked up, you know, whatever. Yeah. You're gonna see it could have been somebody petting a frog, and because they're already screaming, I would have been like, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
you know?
God.
That was also my favorite Annie Lennox song, called Walking on Broken Legs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Walking on broken legs.
So they sedate Fletcher, and the vet has a hypothesis: fever, foaming, tear ducts going all wild. It looks like this.
Saliva, fever, they have what she has. But here's the thing. Rabies takes months for symptoms to show. This is taking minutes. I mean, rabies, it never acts this fast.
How does rabies spread? It's just through bites, right?
No. Basically, it's passed through anything wet. Blood, saliva, any mucous membrane. So if you get their blood on you, you're okay. But if you get their blood on you and it gets into a cut or into your mouth, into your eyes, then you're not okay.
Whatever you do, don't kiss them.
So the vet comes up with his best explanation. Oh, yeah, it's probably just rabies. You know, I've seen this a million times. So
it's just a common cold.
I like he's like literally the Oreos being a doctor, Hydroxy being this guy as a veterinarian's explanation of what's making these people sick, which
it's
is
just common
good.
Rabies where they can be shot 100 times but still walk around.
So one of the tenants is a drunk guy who decides to break off and barricade himself in his apartment. The cop has a problem with this. Angela and the two others try to go check a TV in another apartment that still uses the old school bunny ears as an antenna. When they head up to the second floor, they see a German Shepherd that looks rabid. The elevator doors happen to open up at the same time, and there's just some random dude who kind of looks like a presidential candidate who's been eliminated, Pete Buttigieg.
Pete Boy.
Yeah, if you notice, this guy looks like Petey Booge, and he gets mauled by this German Shepherd, and I fucking clap laughed when it happened. So I was just like, oh shit, little Pete fucking Buttigieg, the defender of all of the fucking status quo. He just got eaten. That's awesome. Cool. And that was pretty fun. And so the dog is locked in there in the elevator. That will come into play a little bit later on. So they get to the TV and they hear the police chief say that everyone has been evacuated, and they're like, why the fuck would the police chief say that? Why would he say that? Then they fucking cut the power and the lights go out, and all you hear is fucking this. Demon sounds everywhere. Scary shit starts happening as one of the possessed gets loose and beats the cameraman has to fucking take the camera and beats one of these possessed bitches to death with the fucking camera, which, man, I thought was such a creative way. I've never seen somebody get beat to death with a camera in a horror film, no?
That was cool. That was cool because you see it hitting the target.
Yeah.
So you see the blood and you see her teeth and the gray skin. That was great. That was super great.
And
it never happened in real life because like the least amount of camera would be like 20,000K.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, I like it. Yeah, like no cameraman would really use that to beat somebody with. They're like, this
oh,
is
God.
Expensive. No, what are you doing?
But if it was real, I mean, it would be good because it'd be like, Sony, our cameras can beat the shit out of people. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. Scott is Scott's handling it pretty well.
Yeah, I'm just fine. I mean, I just killed something with my camera, and, you know, I'm just fine. Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. Like, the found footage of this part is just him, like, kind of looking at the camera and wiping all the blood stains off of it. It was fun. So, downstairs, they've collected everyone in the meantime, and they start to do a roll call, just trying to account for everybody, right? Infighting is happening, finger pointing, this person has the virus, that person has the virus.
It was fun until you said pointing.
Yeah.
I thought they were having a good time.
So, finally, the CDC comes in, and they make their way in through the front door in full hazmat suits and machine guns. This is one thing I've never seen the CDC do in a movie, right? Like, I've never seen Outbreak, right? Like, could you, like, they walk
in.
It's
a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, these are nerds that look at fucking microscopes, not people that carry machine guns. And you're like, okay, this is clearly somebody posing as the CDC. But no, later on, you're going to realize, no, this is a nerd with a machine gun. It makes no sense at all. But I accepted it.
Instead of the CDC in reality, instead of being like, get back, they're more like, we think it's best that you stay about 6 feet away. We don't advise shaking hands. If you could sneeze into your elbow, like, that's more realistic of how they operate.
Yes. If you know the monkey that started all of this, could you please point him out, right? That's right. What I know about the CDC from the movie. So
a lot more signposting and emails and sort of like little what do you call those when you have like letters that represent like a saying, like keep it simple stupid, like they have one of those, like wipe your, use the crook of your elbow, dumbass, or whatever, however they do it,
you know, as they do. So,
you know, the last thing you hear before you get shot in like mass is like social distancing before they let loose with like full auto.
So, Angela and Scott find their way to like an open window that can look in on what the CDC is doing. So they end up cuffing the injured Fletcher outside as they're kind of like looking through into another room inside the building. They sedate him and then they fucking pull out the drill and just
taking a brain sample.
Just start drilling into his head, which is, I thought, pretty fucking metal. Like, oh yeah, we'll just sedate this dude and fucking take a little brain sample real quick. And but Fletcher wakes up and goes buck on these CDC cucks real hard. They have to run out of the room after he starts fucking them up real bad. And the remaining CDC guy, who is now barricaded in with the rest of them, explains.
We got a call yesterday from a vet who had a sick dog brought in. They ran all the routine tests, but it was nothing they'd ever seen before. Then all of a sudden, it started attacking the other animals. And within an hour, all the injured animals showed the same kind of aggression. The dog's collar led us to this building.
Was the dog's name Max?
Yes.
Now, Max happens to be the sick little girl who Angela was interviewing just moments before all this shit went down, who looks like she's super sick. So they all kind of like turn their eye to the mother, and then she goes like, no, she's got bronchitis.
Let him do a check, ma'am.
No. That's all we got to do.
That's all she has is just a little bronchitis.
Yeah, and this little girl just goes buck and takes a chunk out of mama's face. It's not like her neck, she just rips the flesh off of her cheek from the bottom of her eye down to like her fucking jugular. It's just such a beautiful scene as that child goes and runs wild upstairs all of a sudden.
That's a song I want to hear, is Going Buck on All You Cucks. Hell yeah.
I think there was somebody else in the building that noticed the fire, and she also got bronchitis.
Ain't nobody got time for that. So the girl bites the mom. They handcuff the girl's mom to the staircase because clearly she's infected as hell. She's telling her little girl that's infected as hell to run. And the cop and Jake go to go retrieve the little girl upstairs. Angela and Scott, of course, follow the action. They follow into Miss Espinosa's dreaded apartment once again. Miss Espinosa, once again, eerily missing. They eventually find Brianna standing in a corner.
I need you to give me your hand, okay? Okay? What happened to her eyes?
And she goes fucking ape shit, bites the cop's neck. Bites the cop's neck. Pandemonium now absolutely breaks loose. People are running everywhere. Infecteds are popping up left and right. Brianna's mom is still cuffed, and she ends up getting mauled by another infected. Jake, Scott, and Angela eventually barricade themselves within a room upstairs with the other supposed uninfected. And they're sitting up there with the other uninfected, and she hypothesizes that Angela, she's broken down a little bit at this point. I wouldn't say she's in the best state after seeing multiple murders, and she's not holding together very well.
Listen, we have to stay here and wait till somebody come and get us.
They're not gonna come and get us.
Oh yes,
they're not gonna come and get us. They don't give a shit about us. They're gonna let us die. They don't care about us. Scott, we're gonna die.
Exactly how I respond when I get an invitation to something from my family, but I've been through a week of teething with the baby. I'm like, oh, now you want to be around? Now you fucking want to be around? Okay.
Yeah, I just had my nipple pierced 20 times by a toddler. Oh, man. I remember my mom had that same conversation about Jeremy when he was like 14. It was wild.
Look, I liked breastfeeding long into my later years, and I'm sorry that I would still bite my mom at age 14.
So they notice.
Why do kids do that?
They notice that in the room that the doctor has been bit, so they lock him behind these glass doors that clearly aren't going to hold this doctor in this apartment. Then they notice that the girl in the corner, that was the girl that they checked out the TV with earlier, she's been sitting in the by herself, and she's gnawed off her own fingers, which I thought was pretty fucking classy. The girl's... boyfriend starts to panic and says, we got to get out of here. And he opens the window, tears off the plastic, and is immediately met by a sniper's bullet. So it's like, boom, infected here, boom, infected here, about to kill you. And oh, if you go out this window, you get shot in the face. There seems to be no hope until our sweet landlord Yuri comes up with a solution to their problems.
Listen, Jake, there is a drain cover in the basement that joins up with the sewers.
You need the key.
Oh, so he tells him about the key in his apartment, and immediately the infected guy who's in the glass room fucking grabs him up and turns him into man juice right in front of everybody's face. And but at least they have a plan with Jake, Angela, Scott, and the remaining uninfected. So they're... after he's attacked, the finger bitch jumps in on this too. They have to kill basically for the next, you know what? We need Benny Hill music for this, because this is just basically what happens now is like 20 minutes of pure mayhem. And they end up having to kill the foreign family. They end up having to kill the infected dog, all with a sledgehammer, which is pretty fucking cool. They hop in the elevator, and somehow the generator now runs, like, it runs on a generator power. We don't ask questions about how the power's off and the elevator still works. They get up to the next floor. Jake, Scott have to throw down with the finger chewer, who's back once again. They finally take her down, and they, under duress, as everything is like chasing them, they're able to get to Yuri's apartment, get the keys, and head for the basement. Now, as they're headed for the basement, Jake gets yoked up immediately by zombie Yuri, who fucking tears his fucking face off. So now we're down to just Scott and Angela, who have to make their way to the way down the fucking staircase, and there's just a shit ton of infected everywhere. So they decide to not go to the basement where the sewer is, where they can get out, and instead head for the penthouse. Just in time, they're able to open the top door because she has the whole ring of keys that can open everything, and they finally get a second to pause as they walk into the penthouse apartment. Whew. That whole scene, though, is a that whole sequence, though, that I explained in like under a minute is literally 7 minutes of just pure mayhem, like following, ooh, jump scare, kill this thing. Oh, God, look out for that. You better watch out. This bitch is tied up to that. Hide up against a wall. Like, it's nuts.
And then we meet the lead bad guy evil of the movie, who's actually Larry Flint.
You have found the reason for my quarantine, zombies.
Kim, take us through what it was like to experience the hecticness of trying to get down to the sewers and ultimately not succeeding.
I really love a movie where they wrap up a bunch of kills real fast. I don't need a story for every person that dies in a movie or dog. I don't care. It's a movie. It's fake. It's fun. Let's do this. Let's blow up a building full of dogs. I don't care. I'm going to cry. You know, I love when they're just like, bam, bam, stop his face, run. I don't know what's happening. Do you have gloves and a mask? I don't. Fuck you. Ah, like that's so much fun to me. They kind of get to a point, and I didn't realize, I got kind of like nerd excited because when they showed her trying to push that thing aside where she's laying on the floor, but also somehow looks like she's trying to get out of a tunnel. I don't know. There was like a weird mime perspective thing going on there. I realized I'd seen that shot as the cover of the movie on Netflix, and it was like recommending that to me a lot. And I never knew it was Deb because her face was all contorted with fear. So yeah. I was like, oh, that was her the whole time. I forget, there's another movie I've seen, it was way shittier than this one, but it's pretty much the same thing. A young, cocky film crew is looking for ghosts, and they go inside this abandoned hospital, and it's sort of the same thing. Hallways, running, night shot, you know, the whole thing. And this was very much like that, but better. There's chaos, there's excitement. We don't even know if she's coming up a tunnel or coming down a hallway, laying on a floor, or I don't know. It's just fun. It feels just like having a toddler in a rainstorm and you can't find your keys to get in the car. Like, that's exactly what it felt like. But I was in a blanket, so it was better.
I thought the pandemonium of like that little like 6 minutes of the movie, it's kind of perfect. The whole third act of this thing is just a roller coaster. It is, and it's a roller coaster of like, ooh, and then here we're gonna go up a hill for a little bit, and then you're gonna go through nothing but fucking action for the next, you know, 20 minutes.
This movie, because the third act is so exciting, it's one of those movies where they say does not disappoint.
Yeah, right? It doesn't. It delivers.
It delivers, and then after it delivers, they have a kick-ass story, they got kick-ass kills. After that, there's even more climax. It's just so much fun. It's like when after you've jerked off into the porn you're watching, and then something super hot starts to happen, and you're like, damn it, I didn't know they were going to take it to level two.
Great, now I have to bookmark this for later. They are able to get into this apartment upstairs where shit gets really weird.
Shh, shh. Listen, they went away. I think they went away. Oh, damn. Okay, so this place is locked up, but that means probably that there ain't nobody in here. So let's find a way out.
Man, he couldn't have said a more wrong sentence. As soon you will find out. So as they start upstairs to this apartment of horrors, it's literally like there are just newspaper clippings. There are rats that are all over the walls that are just in cages. It looks like a testing facility slash weird demon occult shit that's up there. It's fucking horrible to look at. It really looks like I think this last scene is very much taken out of Silence of the Lambs. It looks like Buffalo Bill's cellar, but now in the upstairs penthouse of this place. And finally, they make their way over. They find a tape recorder, which whenever you find a tape recorder in a horror movie, you always play it because nothing bad can possibly happen if you do. And just to let you in on a little something, it ain't Neil Sedaka's greatest hits.
Hey, play it.
I don't know how to do this.
Oh, it's Miley Cyrus's new album. Oh, beautiful. I didn't know this guy was into pop music.
Drake has gotten so experimental. Well, he's been working with Lil Wayne. You know how Wayne stretches genres.
So the tape fades out, and they start hearing some thuds, and all of a sudden, a trap door to in the ceiling just opens up above them.
I'll come to you.
So that pops open, and then Scott kind of warns her, like, listen, we need to check what this is out. Again, white people writing for a black guy. Not this. The black guy doesn't say, we need to check this out. No, this is, she's frantic, and he's like, I'm not going up there. Are you fucking out of your mind, right? So Scott wants to see what's up there, so he takes the camera and looks up there and peers around, and it looks like almost like a child zombie goes and just fucking attacks the camera out of nowhere. It's pretty creepy, Jeremy. How did you feel about that?
I never saw this. I haven't seen the movie in like 10 years.
Okay, good.
So, I saw at least the first 20 minutes before I fell asleep.
So,
I remember at least 20% of the film from 10 years ago. So.
Something knocks the light off of the camera, and it gets knocked back down. So Scott throws on the night vision, and now we can see that there's something tramping around on the floor that they're on in the dark room. And this fucking creature that they're showing, it basically looks like... imagine the character Blue from Old School, right? Like Blue from Old School in his underpants, no shirt on, but now it's a woman with A cup titties and a face. It's basically the bitch from that gets out of the shower in The Shining, but you're looking at her in a night vision type situation. It is fucking horrible, this creature that's stomping around up there. Kim, give us how you felt about this wonderful creature that is now in the room with them.
I have said it before, and I will say it again. Yes, baby. I love props. I love knowing that there's blood spurting out of stuff. I love the makeup. I love the clay on their face, and they mold it so it looks like they're missing their lips. I love all of that, and this definitely delivered. I hate the CGI stuff, and I'm not opposed to it when it's done well, but in a horror movie, stuff moves so fast, and it's visceral, right. And you can kind of tell. Like, if it's a war movie... I feel like it's almost better utilized there rather because war is so separate from your everyday life. But in a horror movie, that's something, you know, it kind of gets in you. Like, you're like, that could happen to me. I wear white shirts with buttons on them. Oh my God, you know. So I loved the zombie effect. I liked the rushing. My favorite zombies, I think, and I don't want to stick to this yet, but just off the top of my head, my favorite zombies are in the Dawn of the Dead remake. Because they hiss like feral cats and they run. And that's badass
to
me.
You're a running zombie gal. You're in the
I love it.
Running
I think
wasn't
28
camp.
Days later they did something similar?
They were, yeah. I think those are the first running zombies that you really got. Well, technically, Return of the Living Dead. No, Jeremy?
Yes.
But that was more comical.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think a great takeoff on this film is like, oh man, this is really scary. It got really dark. Why don't we put it on the creepy camera setting where everything's green and extra creepy?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, oddly enough, first of all, nothing looks good in night vision. Like, there's nothing good that you ever see in a night vision setting. It's always murder. And when it tries to be something that isn't creepy, it looks horrible. Like, for instance, a friend of mine that I went to school with, he actually at one time showed me his girlfriend's titties on night vision. There are two consenting parties. I maybe, you know, it was somebody who wasn't supposed to see this, but I looked at her titties in night vision and you see like all her fucking veins and shit. And it was fucking horrible. It wasn't, it's a horrible thing to watch, like night vision titties. Don't ever look at them. They're not good.
That's what happens when you breastfeed. The veins are just like, oh, hello. Ugh. And you're like, what the? It's like when a neighbor moves in and you don't like them. You're like, I didn't ask for this.
Hello, my name's Varicose.
I don't know. Veinytits.com is still pretty hot for a website.
So,
another thing, I think this film is probably in the top three of all time night vision shots. I think the only thing that compares to this is actually the ruins with the chicks in the cave with the one demon that all of a sudden comes around the shoulder like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the other found footage film isn't The Descent. That's a found footage film now.
Right, I think The Descent was professional, but The Ruins was... No, I'm sorry. You're right. It was The Descent.
The Descent is the one in the cave with all the fucking monsters. Yeah, 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 yeah. The Ruins is the one with the vines and shit that are outside of the temple.
That wasn't even in Night Vision.
Okay, good. Well,
so they did have singing plants.
You saved yourself one Joe Robinson correction right there. I hope you're fucking happy.
I meant to say The Descent.
So Scott whispers to Angie as they see this thing kind of tramp around in the darkness, whispers to her.
It can't see us. If it can't hear us, it won't find us.
So it can't see us. If it can't hear us, it won't find us. Okay. Now listen.
That's not how cancer works, dumbass. It's gonna find you, okay?
The funniest part is, like, we've listened to Scott's advice since we entered this room. It's all been bad, okay? There hasn't been one good piece of advice that he's given us. He's like, this place is locked up. There's probably nobody in here. Oh, we got to check this upstairs thing. Don't worry, this thing can't hear it. Why would you trust him at this point? I don't know, because I guess you're out of options, right?
So, I love in the Dawn of the Dead remake when he's like, what makes you a fucking expert? What is your job for all this? What did you do? And he's like, I sold TVs at Best Buy.
I also fucked your mom.
You are definitely going to be our leader. You can definitely choose a goddamn good TV.
They don't call. That's why your mom calls me the Geek Squad. The Skeet Squad. There you go. So Scott and Angie try to move past this thing in the dark and decide to just try to, like, walk past it in the fucking green light of this night vision. It senses him and kills our sweet cameraman Scott almost instantly, which is pretty sad. Angie is left alone, dark, crawling towards the camera helplessly. And as she's crawling there, you can just hear her fucking freaking out. And she just gets dragged off into the oblivion of darkness behind him. And that brings us to an end of Quarantined. Man, look at that. We did it, guys. Now, I will say, listen, there is a sequel to this movie called Quarantine 2. I can't recommend more to never watch Quarantine 2, okay? It's a bad movie. It's not fucking great. Now, what is great is if you watch the movie Quarantine, turn on the movie REC2, because this last scene where Jennifer Carpenter gets dragged away, like, into the darkness like this, which is a very, very cool shot, it literally starts right at that moment in REC2, and the direction that REC2 takes is not what you think. So if you don't want it to be spoiled, turn the episode off right now, but then, like, skip forward and listen to our plugs at the end. But REC2 basically says that this, because you kind of, like, it sets it up like this is a zombie movie. And next, the CDC sends in a priest. Everybody's actually possessed. And then that thing up in the room is actually making people possessed. And they have to defeat that thing up in the room. It's actually, REC2 is pretty fucking good. It's just like this movie, and very much worth the watch if you'd like to
see
it.
But you know what's a scarier movie involving a priest? Have you seen Spotlight?
No.
The true story of the journalism in Boston of them trying to figure out this child molestation ring. You know what's a lot fucking scarier about priests? Some dogmatic fairy tale about nightmare of fucking possession where they just didn't know what bipolar disorder was and they just tied you to a bed and beat the shit out of you, you know, is actual priests actually molesting actual children. Now, whenever I see a priest involved in a horror movie, I'm like, nope, because I've read too much about Epstein. I know too much about shit. This isn't going to scare me. It doesn't fucking scare me.
Hey,
our child is really messed up. can we leave you in a room with him alone to take care of him and make sure he's better?
Yeah, it's
get him back to that. Get him back to that state where he just stays there and drools because he's been molested so much.
Hey, well, listen.
Well, I have read that the one thing you can do for molestation is to separate a child from their family and give them NyQuil every time.
Yes. The one thing I learned is, like, people, you know, listen, people knock the Catholic Church a lot for kind of how they've handled their priests. But listen, in every one of those situations, they have stopped, you know, using them at that particular place and moved them to a different place where they could molest more people, which is, I thought that was, well, that's, you know, they thought they were being irresponsible. And I just thought, you know, hey, they did their outreach was so much greater that way. So, by the way,
always like, I have made the church so much money and I have to molest in this place compared to where I was molesting.
Oh, damn. Gosh. There's a
they write a review on the fucking sex offenders website list. Like, they can go and be like, I was in Germany and I thought Italy was going to be great. Not fun to molest in Italy.
There is a documentary called, I think it's called See No Evil. Deliver Us From Evil, which is, I've never wanted to commit murder more than watching the priest in this, who they basically talk about his whole thing. And you think that it ends with justice? No, the parish just moved him out of the States, and he's literally doing the interview at a children's park in, like, Scotland while he's just watching children go by. And you're like, oh, wow, you've been a monster for like 40 years and you're just fine. Like, that's the moral. He's fine. Like, it's one of the worst documentaries you can ever fucking watch and not feel good, because there's nothing worse than like Quentin Tarantino, for instance. When he makes a movie, he gives you everything that you want. Every time there's a Quentin Tarantino movie, there is justice, right? Like, he never doesn't deliver on that, right? There's a guy that's raping some dude. Guess what? We're gonna get Bruce Willis to chop you up with a fucking katana sword, and this guy's gonna get blown away in a dick. You do the Nazis, you're gonna see Hitler get machine gunned in the face, right? He always delivers the justice aspect. This is the exact opposite of that. This is, you get nothing that you want that will happen good is in Deliver Us From Evil. God.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tiger King.
Yeah. Oh, man, listen. Free Joe Exotic. He was set up, okay? Listen, he's maybe a monster that tortures tigers, but listen, that shit's legal.
Did you see that meme that RJ put up on Instagram, and it said, what's worse about 2020? And it was like COVID-19 or that fucking bitch Carol Baskins.
Fucking Carol fucking Baskins. God, I love that.
Do you think they'll do a Carol Baskins Robbins, and they'll have like a some kind of tiger themed ice cream or something? That'd be amazing.
33 tiger flavors.
Or maybe it's just an ice cream, but it disappears after you eat it. It's called the Carol Baskin Robbins.
This is raspberry cherry tiger flavor.
I saw a woman tweeted, my husband just told me I should slow down on the snacking. So how exactly do you feed someone to a tiger?
Smaller pieces so they get it down easier. So.
That shit's fire. Oh, hell yeah. Well, so anyway, check out REC2 if you really enjoyed Quarantine. I would say it's worth the watch. There's some ridiculous things they do in it, but it very much follows in the same vein, and made by the original Italian directors, but with a nice higher budget comparable to that of Quarantine. So check that shit out. Kim, where can people fucking find you at? What are you doing these days?
You can't, bitch. I'm momming and holding down the house. It's been a lot of transition. Mama, you damn right. It's been a lot of transition, and I'm trying to move slow. I did go up to Shit Show in January, and that was really fun. I did some new material, got very angrily, got some stuff off my chesticles. It felt good. It felt nice. But since all this is going on, I'm just holding it down with this.
Heck yeah.
I'll return to stand-up. I started... I don't know if you guys know about... Can I do something for you? Is there something I can do for you? Want to draw? It's the nicest way I can tell somebody to shut the fuck up.
Is there something I can do for you?
I love you so much. Please shut up. I my birth work, I'm a doula and a childbirth educator and a maternal massage therapist. And I started a nonprofit So our goal is to get free doulas, birth education, and massages to pregnant women and postpartum women. And we actually we put together a list of volunteer doulas on the phone with women throughout labor and delivery in New York, where they aren't able to have people with them because of social distancing. And the Staten Island University Hospital took our list. So nice. We're just waiting to see if we get any calls and stuff like that. So I've been trucking on that. And I'm really excited to return to stand-up. I don't feel as left out now that nobody can do it. I'm like, everybody. I'm kidding. I want you all to be fulfilled and happy.
I like it. When we all, hey, listen, when you come back, it's a reset for everybody. So everybody's right? going to be equally horrible and not trained. So you can just get back on stage and be like, oh shit, she's a little bit rusty, but damn, that shit was funny, yo. So check out.
A rusty truck will still pull a load. Come on now.
But you still are on the Instagram. What is the Instagram handle that you want people to follow you at? Yeah.
Panic at the Deli, and I'm on Twitter at Watch Me Doing This.
Hell yeah. So check that shit out. And I believe your doula company is called Open to Birth. Am I wrong on that one? Is that how people look you up on that?
Open to very good memory there. Open to Birth. We have a free app on the App Store for Apple, the iOS. That's free. It's childbirth education to prepare you. And go to open2birth.com and check out our nonprofit. And if you want to get involved or ask questions or whatever, just email me like a boss. Like a player.
Hell yeah. So check all that shit out. You can also check out Kimberly Callahan and Michael Quinlan at the Second Saturday Shit Show that when it isn't the apocalypse is free every second Saturday of the month at the Auto Bar. Come check that shit out. Always a good time. Love those cats up there. You can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. You can catch links to my social media. We have a viral video that's up right now. I've also started a new side hustle that if you Venmo me $30, I will make a 30-second song for a birthday shout-out, a breakup, whatever the fuck you want. I've already done like two or three of them, so check that shit out. Jeremy, take us out of here.
They're animals. How could they cut the power?
Nice. All right, good job, guys. Look at that. And Jeremy, you nailed the ending too.
I really wish I had gotten more time to talk about a perfect remake of a movie where everybody's quarantined, and it'd be called The Zombie Breakfast Club.
The Zombie Breakfast Club.
Guess forgot to mention that there's zombies inside. Better run for your life now, but no. Quarantine in a building. Oh, it's not for the children. Hey, but that one right there ain't looking good. Maybe we should. I don't know about that one. But did I mention there's also zombie dolls? They will bite your face off if not more. Quarantined in this building. And I can't leave with my children. When they gonna let us out? Because Netflix really isn't that good in 2008. Oh my God, it's a fucking demonic shit upstairs. Hope this wasn't the cause of everything inside now.